Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. As we approach Scripture today, let us do so in a spirit of prayer. Join me. As a child rests in its mother's arms, so will I rest in you. As a child rests in its mother's arms, so will I rest in you. O God, open your word to us. Help us to live your word. O God, fill us in such a way that we have no other desire. We ask it in the name of the Christ, and the people of God together say, Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. And in it we have a whole compendium of ethical living, ways that we should live. This text and these texts from the Sermon on the Plain, and as well from Matthew's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, really aren't about human will or human desire or human ability, but about God's will and God's desire for humankind and what God is able primarily to do, not what we are able to do, but what God can do through us. That is what this text hinges upon, this idea that we worship, we serve, we love, we walk with a God who can do all things. The things that Jesus describes here are awfully difficult. But it's not about our ability. It's about God's grace through us that can make all things possible. So we read the Sermon on the Plain. We read the Sermon on the Mount with that in mind, with God in mind. God is the lens. God's love, God's grace, God's ableness is the lens through which we read these difficult scripture. Jesus says, but I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, and merciful just as your Father, and be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To make up for last week's pointless sermon, this sermon has one point, and it centers on the love of God, God's love for us, not our love for God, not our love for neighbor, God's love for us, God's undiminished, unconditional, complete and total love for us. You all know I like small independent films, and there's a coming-of-age feel-good dramedy called Carrie Philbin. Have you seen Carrie Philbin? Yeah. That's pretty much par for the course. The films I know, nobody really knows. Local Hero, does anybody know the movie Local Hero? Thank you, Local Hero. Okay. It's the greatest movie of all time, Local Hero. Carrie Philbin is a prodigy. She graduated Harvard when she was 18 years old, meaning she started when she was 14. She's not happy. She's the smartest person in every room, wherever she finds herself. She's always been, though, on the outside looking in. Something was missed, of course, in her childhood. She doesn't have friends. Her mother died several years ago, and that ended the beautiful family she had with her father and her mother and herself. Her dad lives in London now, a city she does not like. He's moving on with his life. He's engaged to a woman with children, but she can't move on. She's stuck. She's angry. She's alone in New York City. She's awkward, struggling. She feels alone. She's standoffish. She's a spoiled brat. She's human. She's hurting. And we, the viewer, want things to turn out well for her, despite her rough edges. You know, she's not perfect, but we see something that she could be. She's not there yet, but we see and we hope for something that she is becoming, though not there yet. We're pulling for her. On a lonely Christmas Eve, by herself in her apartment, she does something really completely out of character. She prays. Hey, God, she says, I'm not going to lie. I don't really believe in you, so I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know who I'm talking to. How many of you all have ever prayed like that? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know if you exist. I don't know if I should shout or whisper. I don't know if you're there. I don't know if you hear. But she prays. Maybe against her better judgment, maybe as a last resort, she prays. She talks to God. And for those moments, she trusts God with the contents of her heart, with who she is. She's not the smartest person in the room when she's talking to God. She doesn't have anything she needs to hide when she's talking to God. She's not in some kind of game of one-upsmanship when she's talking with God. She is herself, alone with God, talking with God. So in the unlikely event that God even exists, she prays. She prays her heart out, and she begins, ironically, this unschooled genius. She prays for the world. She prays for anyone and everyone who suffers. And then she apologizes. She apologizes for being so selfish. This takes 25 seconds in the film, but it's a beautiful moment. She prays that God would overlook her selfishness, and then that she would become a better human being, because she knows she's not there. She misses her mother. She says, God, if it's possible, let her know that I miss her. She's not satisfied with the relationship she has with her father. She lays it all out. She prays to God. She expresses this stuff. She unburdens herself of it. She's in a miserable moment. Seemingly, she has no other way out. What good is all her brilliance doing her, after all? So Carrie Philbin turns to the last thing that just might work. God. Carrie Philbin turns to God. Carrie prays. This is to whom Jesus returns to in his ministry, to God, all of the time. Jesus is a prayer too. Jesus, we get the impression, can't carry it alone, can't do it alone. We always find him at the corners of Scripture, sneaking off, going off early in the morning to pray, to be alone with God, to seek God, to center himself in God. Jesus, the Christ, the one we lift up as hero, the man in white, is always turning to God. And he, it seems, knows the prayer of Carrie Philbin, knows what it is to unburden oneself, knows what it is to let it out, knows what it is to be real, to be honest, without pretension. Jesus demonstrates this for us. They're at the edges of all of these stories in Scripture. For Jesus, we learn that God is always available to us. We don't control God. God's not in our pocket, but God always is available. God hears prayers. This is what we learn in Jesus' ministry. For a faithful person, a person who is faithful, any person who would seek to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, God is at his or her center. When one is on, God is in the shadow of God. And when one is off, one is not near God. God is at the core. Without this focus on God, this is what Jesus demonstrates. Without this focus on God, a godly life is simply not possible. So in the Sermon on the Plain today, Jesus is sharing with his disciples an ethical message which is difficult to hear. Jesus sets an impossibly high standard. Love your enemies. That's difficult enough. He should stop there. Do good to those who hate you. So not only do we love them, we are to do good to them somehow. Bless those who curse you. What? This must be an editing mistake, right? Jesus couldn't mean that. Pray for those who abuse you. It's not a mistake. Jesus is inviting his disciples to live such a life that one's life becomes radically reoriented, not reoriented on self and what I can do and what I can achieve, not even reoriented on one's neighbor, but reoriented first on God. It is God who imagines this for your future. Stay centered, stay focused on God. And then, by the way, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. We can only love like this when we know that we already have been loved like this. We have been loved like this without condition. We are able to love because we have been loved. And Jesus has come to demonstrate God's love for the whole wide world. So, Ken, you can love only because you're loved, not because it's your will, not because you want to check things off your list, not because you want to do right, not because you want to be moral. We can only love because we are loved. We have been loved. We will be loved. We are as undeserving of that love as we have received as any love somebody else might require from us. Maybe they don't deserve our love. That might be true. But do we deserve God's love? No. And so this radical shift is that we put God at the center and we put love at the heart of who we are and what we do. So love is pure. God's love is pure. And God's love is holy gift. It's not built upon what you've earned or what you deserve. There's no ranking in God's love. Oh, you've done a good thing. I love you more. No. No, God's love is pure, and it's holy gift. It's grace. It's not merit-based. And our love, the love we're called to share, is supposed to be the same way, the same kind of love. And so we read this passage and we say, I cannot do it save for the grace of God. The gospel of Jesus demonstrates that God's love is costly, that God's love is beautiful, that God's love transcends human limits. Our love is incomplete, imperfect, selfish. God's love is not. God's love always leads to danger. God's love always leads to enemies. God's love always leads us to our knees. God's love always leads to a cross. God's love always involves sacrifice. Always. Always. And God's love never fails. Jesus demonstrates this in his life and his death and his resurrection. He can love others only because he's focused himself on the love of God. He's focused himself on the power of God. He is focused on the will of God, focused on the grace of God, focused on the love of God. Not my will, he prays. Your will be done, O God. Not my will, your will be done. We live this passage only insofar as we are able to step into and be subsumed by the grace and love of God. And then by God's grace, we are able to live. Human love is not enough, but God's love is enough. God's love transforms human love. And this is what Jesus, I think, wants us to remember as he dishes out these difficult texts. There's more. There's more to come in the, there's been more previously, and there's more to come in the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus wants us to remember that God's love enables us to love beyond ourselves. We can, by grace, truly love our enemy. We can, by grace, and only by grace, truly and honestly pray for those who persecute us. That's the only way. When we allow God's love to fill us, there's no room for anything else. And when things crowd in and distract us, and we pause and say, oh God, fill me up with that love, when that love comes in, there's no room in us for apathy or for hate or for snarky disdain. God's love cleanses. God's love evaporates lesser love, selfish love, greedy love, the kind of love I have. It disappears. And by God's grace and the mystery of God's will, my love becomes somehow God's love. With God's love, there's no room for anything else. No room for anything else except for love. So surrender to this kind of love, trust in this kind of love. Only then are we able to offer the left cheek after the right cheek has been struck. Only then, when we surrender to this love and really trust this love, trust that this love is leading us to a dangerous place, trust that this love will break our heart, trust that this love will build us up, trust that this love will make us whole, only trust in that love will ever allow us to give our shirt when somebody asks for our coat as well. This is the way I think Carrie Philbin prayed on Christmas Eve by herself in her living room before she blew out the candle and went to bed. In the act of reaching for God, she let go of everything else. Every burden, every woe, every doubt, every shred of hate, every fear, every feeling of superiority, she let it go when she reached for God. And filled by God's love, Carrie Philbin could do all things.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.